How many were not here last week? So we have a couple of visitors. Welcome. Visitors or first-timers, whatever you want to call it. So praise God. I plan to do a little bit of review, so I will do that. And then we'll move into some new aspects of this. But it's called knowing the Spirit. And we had said last week about, in fact, Pastor used this example. It didn't say, Ed Gibson, thou shalt be a pastor. You know, he couldn't find that exact wording in there. You know, we need to know the Word, but we also need to know the Holy Ghost. And we need to know what's the Spirit and what's flesh. Jesus, and if you want to turn to John chapter 3, Jesus really differentiated between flesh and spirit. John chapter 3, and I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 5, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Flesh versus spirit. I'm talking, of course, we live in the flesh. We have to have a body to live in this earth, or we'd have to leave. That gives us authority in this earth. Once your body lays down and dies, your spirit has to leave. But he's talking about just because you're born in the natural in this earth down here, and this down here doesn't get you born into the kingdom of God. Excuse me. And there is this teaching out there, these people nowadays that, in fact, we had a relative say to us one time, we were talking about things, and then she said, you mean not everybody goes to heaven? This was like enlightening to her. So, I mean, some people really think, you know, I'm born on this earth, I'm an American, I'm on my way to heaven. But Jesus didn't say that. And if we know the Word of God, we know that that's not true. Flesh versus spirit. Like I said, we live in a flesh body. That we have to operate in that. But I'm talking about differentiating between being led by the flesh, the carnal nature, being led by the Spirit. We all have to make decisions in these days that are important. And I mentioned last week about, you know, in our short span of life, whether it's up, even if you live 120 years, you know, you can be deceived. I don't care how well you know the Word. If you just get off track a bit, you can be deceived, but you need to hook up the Word and the Spirit. You know, I'm not giving you put fear in you, but I mean, you know, I don't think there's anybody on this earth can know this Word well enough that deception doesn't try to come. You've got to pick up on it. You've got to know by the Holy Ghost. And so we're in training. Do I ever miss it? Do we ever miss it? Certainly. We miss it by, you know, I've missed it big time already, thinking I'm hearing the Spirit of God. Not lately, thank God, but, you know, we've got to learn these things. So just because there's a physical birth does not mean it's a spiritual birth. This actually says you must be born again or born from above. So he's differentiating here. In John chapter 4, turn to the right a bit there, the Samaritan woman at the Jacob's well, Jesus said to her, the woman said to Jesus, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. He had read her mail, so to speak. And she said, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. He being a Jew, she's referring to that. But she's trying to get a pinpoint. I mean, he's got her attention now. And she's trying to pinpoint a geographical location where they should go to church, so to speak. But it's no more. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, it's not geography. It's not, you know, it's the heart issue. He's getting to the point. We're not talking about the flesh. You've got to go to Coleman Chapel. You've got to go to this church or that church. Man, if you don't go to Israel, you're not going to feel God. You know, that's great. Go to Israel, everything, but it's the heart. You know, thank God when we get to Israel, wonderful. But, man, when I get home, I'm going to still have the heart issue, and I'm here as well there at home. So, you know, we're not minimizing going to holy places, but we don't have to do that to hear from heaven. So Jesus went on and said, where am I? You know, you worship you know not what. And there's a lot of people are probably in church today or church last night or what have you. They're in quote-unquote worship, but they're going through the motions because it's what their parents did. So, oh, we're going to do it. We're all right. We're doing what our parents did. We're doing what their parents did or what our group does. We just do this and do our deal and just kind of be half asleep and get through it. And then we're out of here. Jesus is guarding against the ritualism. It's a heart issue. It's not about not doing these things in the flesh. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers, we talked about, that signals us if there's a true worshiper, there's a phony, fake worship. You know, the devil's always going to try and get in there and distort things. And Karl Marx, I mentioned this last week, his name is Karl Marx, said, religion is the opiate of the people. We hear a lot about opium addiction nowadays. It's a horrible thing. They ought to hang a few doctors, I think, for prescribing. But anyway, that's what I think. But not really. That's the flesh. I'm led by the flesh there, get it? But, you know, he said that religion is the opiate of the people. You know, you think, well, this is what my parents did. This is what my grandmother did. She bought that pew. This is what our group does. Our denomination does this. We must be okay. Now, not in these days. I mean, well, not in any days, but Jesus said to guard against that. He said, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. When we're in worship, we should be focused on the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be singing to Him. We should be have our heart turned toward Him. Believe me, I'm not saying we're doing it for this reason, but there's word that says when you minister to the Lord, He's going to be speaking to you. That's where you get direction in life. And it's not a religious thing. And we're all growing up. We're all getting moving in a direction towards God. But worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit. You know, we're a spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul, mind, will, intellect. You're looking at me now through the windows of your house. You know, your spirit's looking out at me. And that's how the system is in this earth. Thank God. Well, the Bible says in Romans 12, too, we're supposed to renew our mind. Our spirit got born again, born from above. We're supposed to renew our mind, Romans 12, 2. Brother Hagin said that's the most need of the believer. Renew your mind. And then we're supposed to put our bodies under, keep the carnal nature under. But thank God we have a redemption coming, the purchased possession. We have a glorified body coming. I am going to play goalie again, and they're never going to score. No, I mean, you think about that. Our future is bright. This is not a fairy tale. This is rude. This is our future. This is truth. But in the meantime, we need to be led. There's great glory in this earth now and coming, and we want to be a part of this. So we don't want to have a big decision to make. Do I do this, do that, and make the wrong decision based on the flesh? And we told some examples. We'll get some more examples in a bit. So God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know, it's easy when you're in worship, all of a sudden you're thinking about, well, tomorrow's Monday, I got to do this and this. No, slap that mind back in line and concentrate on Jesus, you know. It's easy to think, well, yesterday I did this, I shouldn't have done that. No, get the mind thinking now. Now faith is. Keep focusing on Jesus in worship. You don't have to be here to worship. You should take the time at home to worship God. Worship and meditation, I'm seeing more and more. It's so valuable to us as believers in being led. And I mentioned last week, you get over in the spirit of things. You get over in the spirit. I mean, I've been there where it looks like you're thinking about multi-million dollar things. It seems so easy. And then, you know, you kind of, it's like when you're ministering here. And about halfway through Sunday afternoon, I think, what did I say? You know, you've experienced that. Did I say that okay? But, you know, you flow in the Holy Ghost in the anointing. But things look easier in the spirit. And that's where you need to meditate. If God's called you to do something big, you don't know how in the world naturally you can do it. It's probably God, because He always calls you to things more than what you can do. You get over there and you meditate on it. You worship God. He'll show you insights and ideas and concepts, and you'll see it. Now, yeah, you got to live in this natural realm. That's where the problem is. That's where the difficulty is. But if you're led by the Spirit and you make decisions by the Spirit, even though it's naturally, it makes no sense, it's going to work out. It's going to be fine. So, let's see. I have some notes here. I'm not going to try and stay on that, but not really. So God is a spirit. You know, we know we have a soul, a mind, a will, intellect, and we live in a body. But think about where we are right now as people in this earth, as the church. I know Pastor believes. I fully believe. I believe you believe. From what I'm talking to some of you, we're in the last moments of time before the catching away of the church. I fully believe that. And, you know, think about the timeline, so to speak. And that's probably an oxymoron, but I mean, think about eternity. We're in eternity now. And think about the timeline. You know, there's an eternity is forever, but within eternity there's time. But eternity transcends time. But this little piece we're in now of life here on this earth is where we can decide, choose to be born again or not, choose to serve God or not, to obey Him or not, choose to be led by the Spirit or not. There's so many, even in the church, I'm not talking about this church, but the church at large, that don't even know you can be led by the Spirit. I mean, they look at, I mean, you hear people talking like, you want to ring the bell and is anybody home? But it's just different levels. They're just not taught. Unfortunately, there's churches where it's not taught. And again, not criticizing anybody, but we can seek His will for our lives. We can obey Him. And we can be His treasure. He's going to be having a harvest in this earth. We're His harvest. And we want to be part of that number. Our future is just so bright in this realm. And people think this age, oh, this is scary. These are perilous times, but man, that's when I get kicked into gear. I mean, I was a goalie. I liked the rough and tumble. I like to put it on people, and you know, they put it on me too. When it gets that, I just like that. You know, I like to be in the thick of things. We're in this thing anyway. We might as well go for it. Go for the gold. So that to do that, and you want to get to where God wants you to be. You want to endeavor to get there, because that's where, I don't care if you're called to clean the church or take out the trash or what have you, God will make it glorious for you if that's your calling. So what I'm talking about is knowing the Spirit so we make the right decisions. So he says he's seeking such to worship Him. You know what that word seeking means? It means seeking. He's seeking such to worship Him. He's not looking for rituals. He's not looking. Last week we got on the Apostles' Creed, which I think is a great. When I first heard people praying that, I thought, man, if they're praying this, they're born again. I mean, it seems to me like it's got a lot of word in it. But you know, God's not looking for somebody just to mumble it every week out of ritual and out of rote. You know, if there's no faith in it, He's looking down, so to speak, thinking, what is this? You know, I mean, he's seeking such to worship Him. And this is no criticism. We're learning. We're moving. God is moving the church to a higher level. It's happening as we speak. So he warned about vain repetition, just saying mindless stuff, being duped, like Karl Marx knew that religion would be an opiate to the people. They think they've done something, so let them do their little thing with a state church, and they'll think they got something. But what he didn't realize, now there's a big church. There was underground churches, and now there's a big church. Rick Renner is a huge church in Moscow, and there's things happening. So Karl Marx is dead. Jesus is alive. So we're identifying what is spirit, what is flesh, and we're identifying the Holy Ghost. Turn to John 6:63. This is kind of our, as Brother Hagin would say, our golden text, our main text for both weeks, I would say. So one of the things we talk about, how can you tell if it's the flesh? How can you tell if it's the Spirit, or with the Spirit, in the Spirit? Well, if it's in the Spirit's in it. So John 6:63 said, it is the Spirit that quickens. And we define that word quicken, I have it here somewhere, the King James, yeah. The Strong's Concordance talks about it means to make alive, to vitalize, to make alive, to give life, to quicken, or making life in something, quickening. And so the flesh profits nothing. So, you know, you're looking at that, there's no quickening in the flesh. I mean, I'm not, you know, your flesh, what you live in, can be quickened. You know, if you get in the Spirit, get over on you, can go jumping and dancing and you know, one time I took off running at the Birch Road Church. I mean, one time I ended up, I think the chair was on top of me. But anyway, your flesh can be quickened. But I'm talking about the flesh, the carnal nature doesn't want to, you know, it's dead. In other words, if you're trying to make a decision, you're following the flesh, it's tiring, it's work, it's hard, it's you're just not into it. It's like you're working at a job you hate. And, you know, when the Spirit quickens, you know it. It says the flesh profits nothing. Now I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians 13. You can go with me or you can stay. We're coming back to John 6. That word profit, nothing, over here in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read verse 3. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, the King James says, or have not love, it says it profits me nothing. I mean, I'm all about profit in the spirit realm, in the natural realm. I'm about profit. I don't want to waste my time doing something that isn't going to pay off. I mean, God wants us moving profitably, not just money. I'm not just talking about money, but he wants us to profit in him. So, you know, it says also, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can pray in tongues up and down day and night. You know, if you're operating in hate, you know, it's nothing. It doesn't profit you anything. And excuse me, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. So what this is saying is there are religious, you can look like you're doing something spiritual and people think, man, he's really spiritual. And if you're not doing it out of heart of a faith, out of a quickening of the spirit, out of love, it's just vain. It's just, you know. So there's an example. I mean, you know, I don't want to have all my giving. I don't want to, I'll put it this way. You can be conned. You can be duped. You know, I've been in a service already where I saw the guy hyping people, and if I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord, but we could not get into it. Big service, big convention center. Somebody's really going on with it. And believe me, there are preachers. I've heard Jesse Duplantis say this. They want him to come in there because he can raise a big offering. He won't do it for him. You know, he knows how to take an offering, but it's not to take an offering. It's to get something to the people to receive. So we could be conned. And the end of that, by being led by the flesh, you know, everybody's standing up in this convention center. He's got them going. I just couldn't. We couldn't. We sat down. Didn't give a dime and wouldn't. I still wouldn't to this day. But God bless the guy, but he needs it. So my point is, you know, there you could be led by the flesh. And again, if I missed it on that, forgive me. I don't want to criticize anybody. Not my sermon, but I'm judging this thing by my heart. I didn't want to give, but if say I'd have been conned into that, so to speak, or hyped up and given a couple $1,000, what have you, what profit is that to me? You know, you're being led by the flesh. You're not being led by the Spirit. So a lot of people thought they're being led by the Spirit. So who's right? We'll know down the road in heaven. Maybe they'll correct me. But I'm just saying that's an example. You know that. You can be conned out of money. Before I was born again, I was down at the shore. And we got in one of these deals in one of these places at Wildwood, and I guess they still have them. This guy was working the crowd, man. And I was in, at that time, I was Mr. Businessman. Man, I could wheel and deal the best of them and steal it from the rest of them. And I just got took in by this guy, and he'd offer you something, you put your money there, he'd give it back to you, back and forth, until finally, the last time, you put the big money or big issues, and then he doesn't give anything back. It's all... All of a sudden, the curtains close. You can get, and I wasn't born again, but you can get hype like that, but there's no profit in it. So there's an example. You don't want the flesh. Before you know it there, you're taken, and the money's gone, and there it is. Excuse me. So it's possible to do things that other people think are real spiritual, yet it's just in the flesh, and it profits nothing. It has to come from a spirit of genuine love, being led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is a spirit of love, so he's not going to lead you to in that direction. And I don't want to just go through the motions. You don't want to go through the motions and waste time. You know, we talked about last week about the Bible says, you know, people say 70, 80 years, but that's not right. That's for the disobedient children in the wilderness, age life. The Bible talks about 120 years shall be a man's days. But I fully believe this, and talking about the timeline, we're living in eternity now, but I fully believe that everyone here has the same time. I believe that the catching away of the church. You know, if I'm wrong, you know, I plan to live to 120 if I'm wrong on that. But I really believe if that's true, if we're all here for X amount of time, a finite amount of time before when the trumpet sounds and we go, we want to maximize our time here. I told you about a friend of mine who passed on, and I think about other people that, you know, think about people in general that have spent all their lives with maybe money as their God or something else as their God, or are their recreation as their God, and now we come down to this point in time, and what have they? Even if they're born again, you know, and so there's people, you know, that may hear a message, maybe not even born again today, but they can get born again. They can make the most of what time we've got. That's what we want for people. We want them led by the Spirit, because that enhances the whole body of Christ. So we need to look, well, we're talking about walking in the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says we don't have to. It says, walk in the flesh and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't have to be dominated by that. We can be led by the Spirit. We can be aware of the Spirit that's within us. So when we get on that right track, we talked about getting the witness. We get on the right track. Instead of the flesh, the dried out, hard soil, pounding day in, I'm just going to get this done. If it kills me, it probably will. You know, pounding and pounding. And I heard a minister one time said he had to go to the dungeon every Saturday night, try and get a message. I'm thinking, you poor boy. Yeah. I mean, this is fun for me. I mean, I preached this to myself yesterday, and I liked it, so I'm going to get the tape. But like Jesse Duplantis says, but if I blew it today and I didn't get it out there right, if there was no anointing, I still got a lot out of this. But I'm believing there's an anointing here that you'll pick up on things you need. So once you get the quickening of the Spirit, it says the Spirit quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life, Jesus said. Man, that you can go off on that all different kind of directions. Proverbs 4, Romans 8. So these Spirit words, they're not just speaking to your mind, your soulish realm. They're not just physical sounds that hit your ears. These words that are of Spirit, and you could read the word in the flesh and it's so dry, but I'm talking about getting excited, getting faith with the Word of God. And these words that are Spirit go right into your spirit. And they're life to you. And the proverb says they're life to your health and medicine to all your flesh. So praise God. There's major advances, I think, coming in the medical world because there's major advances in the realm of the Spirit concerning wholeness and healing. It kind of always follows after. God takes care of the natural world, but it happens in the Spirit. So we want to keep feeding on the Word of the God. So if something is in the Spirit, the Spirit's in it. And I talk about being on this dead, dry job. Well, if you're in a job that you're kind of, what do they call that, first-level job, and you know it's not, you're not staying there, and it seems like you're not really liking it, get into it. Apply yourself. You can, instead of being dry and dust, you can get in the Spirit and make that job something, and you'll be promoted quickly. So you begin to pray about something. You begin to look at something. You hold something before God, and all of a sudden, you get this quickening inside of you. God starts speaking to you. And like I said last week, and I'm in this right now. I got something in me, but the mind says, what, huh? What? What's going on? I can't tell my mind exactly all of it. I'm getting light day by day. I do see more than I did the other day. I'd see more than I did yesterday. I'll see more tomorrow. But my spirit, I hooked into it. I got it. There's something going on, and I'll catch it. You know, it's great. I gave you the example about talking about getting a witness. I gave the example about years ago we bought this one vehicle. I didn't think we were even planning to buy it. Well, Darlene saw it out of the corner of the eye. We turned back. We stopped. The guy was there, we test drove it. A short period of time, I drove it, she drove it, pulled into a parking lot, decided we're going to buy this. This is right. Just right, just like that, man. That's great. Then I also told you about last week, about March or April last year, we happened to, the one vehicle was giving us trouble. We thought we better look, move, do something, replace it. So we stopped at a dealer. Weren't planning it, but we did test drove a Toyota Highlander, which is a great vehicle. Great vehicle, but I told you, you know. And then down there, as we thought about it, then he kept calling. You know, they have a Platinum, top of the top line, in pearl blizzard or pearl white blizzard, whatever they call it. The color that's just, I like it. We like it. There's just one problem. There's no witness. It's a beautiful car. It's a great car. It'd be okay. And I honestly got to admit to you, and I think I said this last week, I got to the point, let's just buy this car, get this checked off the list, and move on. Boy, that would have been led by the flesh. It's a great car. I mean, absolutely marvelous car, but there just wasn't a witness. But the God will, by the Spirit, when you get before God and you have placed these things before Him, you'll get enough at least to know, have an inkling. I can tell you probably within 3 vehicles of what we will be getting. So we just got to narrow it down. We got to look. We got to get the witness on the right one. So we have a direction, but you got to get the one. We don't want a lemon. So the Holy Ghost, it's a quickening. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The quickening, the witness, it's so great when, I mean, it's really great when your mind's right there too and you know exactly what he's saying. And I must say, most of the time, that's the way it happens. With me, anyway. I believe generally with people. But when you got something really big going on, I've had this happen too, and it's like I'm saying, I know some things. I got to get it right. I got to get the timing right. I got to do it right. I don't want to miss this. And I'm starting to get, you got to know how God speaks to you, but you got to know, and I know how the Spirit of God deals with me, with the Word and with inside of me. You've got to hear from heaven. And, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. I don't want to think like, oh, we got to get that car today because it might be gone. Hey, they make new ones all the time. New ones are always happening. And, so 2 Corinthians 3, I got to get there. 3 verse 6. Oh, here we go. I'm going to start in 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's another example there in the Word that the Spirit gives you life. The devil is not gonna when you're hearing from the devil, it's just dry. It's like, he can make it look sparkly, shiny and all that, and you might go after it, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. The reference says the Spirit quickens. I mean, it makes alive as a witness inside of you. Stay where you're at, but going back to John 6:63, when you get a witness, when you get that, the Spirit, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. When you get it from a ministry gift like pastor or myself or reading the Word in the morning or evening, whenever you read the Word, or just praying in the Holy Ghost, you get that witness. There's a spark there. There's a quickening there. There's something. There's something. It's not like, and even if there's a correction there, you need to adjust this. It's not like he's got the hammer just ready to swat you and can't wait for you not to make the correction so he can really beat you up. He always gives you hope. So there's a quickening. And, that's good news. I think about drug addicts that go to Teen Challenge or what have you. My brother-in-law, their only brother went there. They get to the point where the devil's got them and there's no life and they're so strung out, they realize, I got to do something. So they move in a direction. God's saying, move in a direction. Is it easy to come off of dope? No, but he's moving in a direction. And there's life there. So it's not all peaches and cream, so to speak, but there's life there. When he's doing something, it won't be dull. It won't be empty. So the big indicator of the Spirit's activity is when he's speaking there, he's moving, he's manifesting there. There's life in it. You're waiting on that witness. You're watching for it, the quickening. We don't need to look at 300 vehicles to find the right one. Shame on us if that's the case. We need to pray. Listen, and get the right one. You don't need to look at 500 houses. The realtor's going to hate looking for you come in their door. You can get an inkling, you can get a direction. Maybe you're supposed to buy a Chevy, a Ford, a Toyota. Maybe you're supposed to buy a 3-bedroom or a 4-bedroom. Or maybe you're supposed to buy in this neighborhood. You get some inkling, and you move in a direction, and you'll get the quickening when you'll get it. You'll get a knowing. I'm not telling you he's going to give you every detail. You got to walk by faith. Now, later on in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 3:17, let's turn to that. There's another indicator of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about indicators that we know the Holy Ghost versus the flesh, being led by the Spirit instead of being led by our flesh. well, I really want this red pickup. I want it. I've always wanted it. I want this. Well, maybe God wants you to have it, but like I said last week, don't pray and say, Lord, send me 3 pickups by 2 p.m. and I'll know. And that's being led by the flesh. You can get it in the spirit. There could be things happening, I don't want to say coincidentally, but there could be things manifest like that, but you dead know if it's the Holy Ghost or if it's the flesh. If you're salivating so bad over your red pickup and you would do anything to get it, including push your wife out of the way and to get me out, you know, maybe there's something wrong there. Maybe it's the flesh. I don't care what you say. I don't care if it's $10,000 a month. We're going to buy this. You know, that's a good indication, guys, that wait on the pickup. Maybe he wants you to get one later. But 3:17, okay. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's another example. That the Amplified says emancipation from bondage. You know, the devil is the devil of bondage. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10 says that. But where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, I'm not talking about an occasion of the flesh. You always got to qualify things. You know, people say, I have liberty, just don't put me in bondage. Well, if you walk after the flesh, you're going to get into habits, you're going to get into a lifestyle that are, you are in bondage then. So, we're not talking about an occasion, you know, liberty. I can go rob a bank and it's fine. No, you know, that's not it. You know better than that. So, he's the liberating spirit. You can identify him. He's the spirit of freedom, liberty. He's the spirit of truth. And what does the truth do? The truth makes you free. So think about the Nazis in World War II, Auschwitz. Arbeit macht frei. Anybody know what that means? Any German in here? Arbeit, work. Work makes you free. They, you know, and these people were duped thinking, the Jews and the Gypsies and the we're duped thinking we're going to go to a work camp. We can make it. Well, if you look like you could work, they put you on this side or this side, and then you worked until you were dead. And if you were a woman or under 16 or what have you, they just sent you right to the gas chamber. Yeah, all by mock free. No, the word makes you free. And that spirit is in the earth. It's been in the earth. It's the Antichrist spirit. So we've got to guard against that. That's a whole other subject. I'm not getting off on that. But what's the opposite of being liberty? It's bondage. It's incarceration, entanglement, ensnarement, being restricted. You know, I just read a book. We saw the guy speak that was in Buchenwald and the Two Lives book. Anyway, he made it through because he could sing. And the SS officers liked to have him around. So he had some freedom, some liberty. He had enough food to eat. That was a rarity. But the devil would take that and entangle your life. And I'm just talking about death camp. But in these days, over in the flesh, being led by the flesh, you can get entangled. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. An example where, and I'm talking about being led by the flesh or by the Spirit, by the devil who would try to imitate God, or by the Spirit of God, the real true God. An example with Brother Hagin. He was a 16-year-old boy, or maybe a little bit younger at the time. He was led to Mark 11:23-24, and Mark 5, with the woman with the issue of blood. You know, John said he likes examples. I'm giving examples. The woman with the issue of blood, and the God dealt with Brother Hagin, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You probably heard this too. That if the woman with the issue of blood got healed, Jesus said, your faith made you whole. So if the woman with the issue of blood got healed by her faith, Brother Hagin was thinking, God dealing with him, and if faith has not been done away with, then I can get healed by my faith. And he started making progress and making advances, and he's in bed fast. So he can barely turn a page, but he's getting revelation from God, moving towards deliverance. He had all kind of issues, health issues. But one day he said, early one morning, it was like a voice spoke to him and quoted a scripture and said to him, and it was like this religious tone. He said, you know, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Set your house in order, for this day you will surely die. He thought, man, that's scripture. That's God. So he said, man, the light went out. It was dark in that room. He's waiting there to die. You know, Fortunately, Brother Hagin realized that this wasn't God, and his faith did go on to make him whole. But there's two scriptures. The one's talking to Hezekiah, one's in the book of James. My point is, you know, scripture is wonderful, but you can make scripture say anything. And you don't want the devil quoting scripture to you, you know. I've had this happen. It wasn't scripture, but I asked God something, and this is not a tangent, not an audible voice, but I heard like a voice saying an answer. And boy, it took me back. It's like, no, that's horrible. And then I realized that's not God. And after you listen, sometimes it's not like a twanging, you know, it's not the real. You learn to be led by the Spirit and hear the true voice of God. So he just sat there half a day or so and thought, man, I got to go. He said it was dark in there. Did that quicken him? No. Was that a liberty spirit? Was that a quickening spirit? No. There's death in that. There's no life in that. I mean, if he was doing the most outlandish things and God went to him and said, you know, if you don't knock this off, you're going to die, but here's what you got to do to knock it off. God always gives you the out. He gives you the answer. So there's life in that. There's liberty that, like I said, even though there's correction, there's liberty. You're going to come out the other side. So that didn't set him free, but it was spiritual and it was real. So we've got to know the difference there. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:10 says that there are many voices in the world, none without significance. All of them are saying something, but they're certainly not all of God. So just because something's spiritual doesn't make it God. I'm not going to get off on that, but sometimes somebody told me something and I thought, you think that was God? You know, you got to judge things by the Word. You got to know the Word and then by the Spirit. But if it's not liberating, if it puts you in bondage, if it's like shuts the door, there's no exit signs, there's no way you can even correct what you're doing wrong, chances are this is not God. You're not at peace. You're upset. So Brother Hagin's upset. You know, he's got to deal with this. You know, he had a horrible family life. He wanted to have his own family someday. And here's this word saying you're going to have to die. But the devil's a deceiver. He didn't die. He got healed. And we know the rest is history. So we don't accept every feeling that comes. Feelings are great. You know, your flesh will get quicker. But we don't accept feelings as being led. You know, we don't accept what we want as being led. If your desires are right and it checks out with the Holy Ghost and God, great. But, you know, watch the flesh motivation. We don't want the devil quoting scripture to us, twisting things. So one of the worst things in life is not knowing what to do. You know you got to do something. You know, well, what am I supposed to do? What do I do in this situation? What do I do in that situation? Not knowing is the most frustrating thing, I think. When you know something has to be done, but you don't know what to do. Well, that's when you've got to listen. You've got to put that flesh aside and stop saying, I don't know. I'm training myself. That's so common to people say, I don't know. You know, I don't want to be saying that per se just on everything. But so when the light comes, when the Spirit quickens, when there's liberty, you start to know. And there's freedom, and it sets you free. I told you time last year about this time I had to know something. It was time sensitive, and I had it before God. We had it before God, and Pastor said something in the church, in the service near the end, and that was it. It quickened in my heart. Now, like I said last week, you wouldn't know it. If I told you this is how I got this, you wouldn't know. But it made sense to me in the realm of the Spirit the way God dealt with me. So being in that corporate anointing, that's good. You know, you hear from heaven. But even in your own prayer time, in your private time, you need to judge things by the Spirit. Is there liberty in this or not? So we're talking about being free. And also the liberty, the issue about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Excuse me. Some people, excuse me. It's like Brother Hagin said, you need to read the Word not with rose-colored glasses. There's some people that major on something. Like I said, you know, some people think, oh, woe is us. Woe is us. God just is ready to hammer us. Just step out of line. He's got to swat you. And they're looking for this, you know. That's all that's on their mind. They're looking for it. And, you know, you look for something, you'll find it. Jesus said, I'm going to turn to this. Just stay where you're at. In Luke 10:25. Well, if you want to turn, you can. This is an important point as far as not reading the Word, not going to God with preconceived notions. And that was an extreme example. Somebody always looking that we're nothing, you know. It repenteth God that He made man. That's their whole focus in life. They learn it in Sunday school, and they're just like this, trying to stay out of God's way. They're not seeing the liberty of the Spirit of God. But 10:25, there was a certain lawyer, Luke 10:25, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What's written in the law?" Then he said this. He said, "How do you read it? How readest thou?" How do you read this? And the guy was trying to deceive him, trick him. But how are you reading it? You know, are we looking to hear from heaven? We've got to guard against this. We've got to listen. We've got to listen. And pastor says, you know, sometimes read the Word like you've never read it before. Just look at it. We have the great teacher. We're the greater one in us, the Holy Ghost, the teacher. Just go to Him and say, "Lord God, Holy Ghost, the great teacher, reveal things to me. I want to see the truth. I want to know if I've been looking at this wrong all these years. I want to tweak it. I want to correct it." And He will. So, you know, if you have somebody come up to you and tries to put you on a trip of bondage, that because all they know is that God's out to get you, you know, don't let that spirit, you know, God is a spirit of liberty. And again, I'm not giving you an occasion to walk in the flesh. I'm just saying when you got it from God, it's liberty. Now, I want to go into another area looking at the Spirit of God in Hebrews chapter 12. Another way we can identify the Holy Ghost. You know, if there's indicators of the Holy Ghost, it's good to know some of them that you can judge things. Am I being led by the Spirit? Am I being led by the flesh, carnal nature? In Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." There's attributes here of God. He's called the God of peace, and, you know, He's a holy God. Two things He's told us to follow. He said, follow peace and follow holiness. And like I said, these are descriptive words of God. He's called the Spirit of peace. In fact, if you just look next chapter, Hebrews 13, verse 20. I need my Amplified here now. I was praying over this, and I can still see where I'm at. Driving up 322, coming up on Beaver Stadium, Penn State, and I got this in my spirit. He's the God of peace, and I don't know if I pulled over, looked at this, or if I looked at it while I was driving. Shouldn't do that. Where did I tell you? 13. Okay, 20 and 21. He's described as the God of peace. And I'm going to read the Amplified. "Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace." This is an example of the Holy Ghost's indicator. He's the Holy Ghost that will give you peace. "And who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus." He's the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. "That great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that seal ratified the everlasting agreement, covenant, testament. May this God of peace strengthen, complete, perfect, make you what you ought to be." This is what we need in these days. "Equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah." So He is the God of peace. And that's His desire to work in you, to get you what you need in these days and move in the direction. So, you know, we can identify the Holy Spirit is divine peace. You can't get this in a pill, in a bottle, in a syringe, and in these opioids that are being prescribed, this epidemic. They're not getting the peace. They may get high for a while. They may, but I'm sure it's hell on earth. So, you know, and this is the devil's tactics. He wants to manipulate you. So to manipulate, he wants people to be out of their control zone, so to speak. So, I mean, if you're so out on drugs or booze, who's driving? I mean, literally and figuratively. Who's driving the car? If you're driving, who's driving your life? This is what the devil wants, to manipulate. I can't get into this today, but this is fascinating. Not fascinating, but it's interesting. the pharmakia, the word pharmakia in the book of Revelation and also in Galatians. In the end time, there's talk about the pharmakia, the drugs, and it has to tie totally to the flesh, which is where the devil wants people nowadays to, like I said, get them out of control, to manipulate them. But the Spirit of God will never manipulate you. He'll work with you. He'll woo you. He'll move you in a direction if you yield yourself to Him. And, you know, talking about just natural safety on the highways nowadays, you know, like, what's his name, the golfer, had no alcohol in his blood, but he was all doped up on prescription drugs, I guess, Tiger Woods, who I'm not big on anyway, but, you know, probably doped up. And, I mean, people, let's say there's people on the road like that. You need to have your angels out there speaking protection. You know, there's one person in my office that speaks and says, well, you never know. She doesn't know any better, but if one of you said that to me, I'd probably tell you, get out of my sight. You know, I don't want to hear that. You never know. Yes, I do know. I got angels I can have on assignment, keeping those things away from me, protecting me. When we were driving to Virginia the day or last week or whenever that was, the angel of God cleared a path from here down to there and back again. We're going. Peace be still. We're going to the other side. You know, you put your faith out there and you... And like Pastor talked about the time going to Florida, they, you know, avoiding killing a lady because in the ice, knowing that up ahead, God telling him to slow down. You know, I may be not getting it all right, but I mean, it's we have to live this way in these days. These are perilous times. Not to be afraid. This is when you just chomp in there, and this is great. This is where the big victory is won. So don't be afraid. So, like I said, the Holy Spirit is not the manipulator. He wants to give you peace, not from a bottle, not from a pill, not from, you know, what have. I'm not going to meddle. Never mind. I'm not getting off on that. But so he wants. He's not going to have you turn your mind off. You know, he gave you a mind to use. He gave you a brain. Not lately, but years ago, people would pray, "Oh God, just take me over, take my mind, make me think this way." You know, you're praying the wrong prayer here. Folks, it's not going to happen. That's not, you know, it's like God's gong, bang. He told us to yield ourselves to Him. Jesus is the good shepherd. I've heard it said He's not the good cowboy. The cowboy drives, like the Chisholm Trail, you know, the John Wayne movies, they're driving the cattle. why did you look at me like that? John Wayne, yeah. But the great shepherd, the sheep know his voice and they follow him at, they want to. And God will have no other way. You know, you gotta choose to follow him. He's not gonna make you follow him. People say, why doesn't God just make everybody get saved? Well, he's not gonna do that. That's against his will and against his word. He wants everybody to be saved. We know that. That's what the word says. He wants all men to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. And not go to hell. But you know, if he is not going to force somebody to be saved, which is different between eternal life and eternal hell, we all going to live forever, going to hell or going to heaven. If he's not going to make somebody choose there, he's not going to make them choose a lesser thing like anything. There's nothing greater than that. If he's not going to force somebody on that, he's not going to force anybody in the lesser issues. It's our choice to be obedient. And you follow him because you want to or you don't, and we decide we're going to follow him. I thank God, you know, we can be born again. I believe we're in here, we're born again. We're led by the Spirit. I mean, how many issues have we avoided just by speaking about angels? You're protecting us. Psalm 91, using your faith in different areas. Like Charles Capp says, don't let them be lounge lizards. Don't have your angels laying around on the lounge there while you're sweating, trying to make something happen on your own. Get them to work. Get them doing what you're protecting. Get them out there. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us, Hebrews says. So, and you know, when you go through life week by week, day, month by month, and have no significant issues, you're getting help. So, I mean, we got these angels out there, we got things working, and we don't know what we just missed. Now, when you're led by the flesh, some people are, well, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but some people are led by the flesh, and let's say there's some people that are so money-minded, they say, oh, Arendo, you preach on prosperity. Is money your God? No, it's probably your God. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the people that criticize the prosperity message. You know, they're the ones that'll go to Sears, or not anymore, I guess, here, but they'll go to get a wrench, go change the oil, and then take it back, say they didn't really need it. That's disgusting to me. And they're the ones that'll go get a wedding dress or an evening gown and go, if I'm touching your toes, so be it. God will heal them. But get an evening gown, wear it, and then go back and say it didn't fit, take it back. That's disgusting to me. God, their God is money, you know. And so anyway, an example, say somebody would drive across town to save a penny a gallon, spend $10 extra to go save. Extreme example, but you know, when you start doing that, hey, and I'm all for, you know, you always like, you know, we're Sam's Club members. If we're by a Sam's, we'll get gas there. It's usually cheaper or different stations we know, but I'm not going to go from Bethel to Hummelstown or Temple to get gas and when I for a dime less when I can get it right a mile away. Because if you do that and you're led like that, you know, you're at the wrong place at the wrong time usually. And that's when things can happen. That's when you get in real trouble. You get in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, the devil tries to set you up, each of you. He tries to set you up for days, for weeks, for months, for years. And, you know, all you got to do, even if you're just heading right to the intersection, all of a sudden you get an inkling, no, wait a minute, stop, pull over, sit here a few minutes. You've just followed his plans that he tried to set up for you for years. And this is a thing that touches me a lot, because 57 years ago, I had two aunts and two cousins. One cousin was like a brother to me, killed at an intersection. And I don't know what happened. All I know is they had to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. So somebody would say, why did... And they're... Chris, they went to Jonestown Bible. I mean, they're Christians. From what I put together, I was 8 years old at the time. What I put together, they were godly. But they were going school shopping in Harrisburg, came back, and the intersection there at Fredericksburg, there was no light. Truck on this side blocking. My aunt decided to make the turn, didn't see the tractor trailer barreling down the road. He was pilled up. You know, he was full of drugs. So they shouldn't have been there. And I know they were talked to. I know that. Because I do know one thing. I've heard an account that my cousin, who was like my brother, that night before they left, told somebody that survived, he had a dream. He saw Jesus staying in a pool of blood. Now he's 8 years old. But some adult got something, I'm sure, and they probably so busy shopping or just don't know to be led. It came and just deflected. So now, tragedy. So this is real to me. And I don't operate this because in fear. But I get angry at the devil. I'm angry at the devil who put that guy on pills. They say he never hit the brakes. It was like barreling down through till it hit. You know, no reaction time. So, you know, but you can avoid all this. We can avoid all this. First Peter, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I like examples. Hopefully I'm not boring you, but it's my service and I get to 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, I think about this, and I didn't have counselors. This was right before I started third grade, and I was messed up, and I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I couldn't handle it. I couldn't go to school. And I faked like I was sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't have all the counselors to get me. Maybe I'd have been a drug addict by now if I had the counselor. I don't know. But I'm just saying. But God, you put that behind you. And I realize now, you know, day's coming. I'm going to see those aunts and those cousins, you know. You know, that it's for a short time for them. You know, in God's time frame, when we talk about, you know, 50 years, 80 years, 120 years, like, man, that's a long time. We really know something. Well, we're just learning. This is our chance to serve God and be obedient to God. To him, you know, to God, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. But 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want to live long and live good, you know, you refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking no guile. He's quoting from Psalm 34, 12 to 14. So you want to have these good days. You don't want to be, you know, he's giving us a tip here how to do this. But the next verse, he's telling us how to live this way. Don't lie. Don't speak guile. That's anything that's fake, deceit. Refrain your tongue from evil. And you know what? This is more than it sounds like. Pastor talked about this already. The 10 spies that went out to spy out the Canaan land, they came back, said, oh, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And it turned out later, Rahab said they were scared of these guys. But they came back with this evil report. The Bible calls it an evil report. You know, say, oh, we can't do this. That was an evil report. Refrain, keep your lips from tongue from speaking evil. So, you know, you got to stay in faith, even with your mouth. But in the next verse, there's two things here. Let him eschew evil and do good. I'm reading the King James. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Your version might say pursue it. It means pursue it. So two things. Seek peace and pursue it. Go after it. Holy Ghost is a spirit of peace. Seek that peace and go after it. When you start getting a peace about a situation, don't just say, oh, I got it. Just hook on to that. Keep going. Keep moving. Keep praying over it. Keep getting it into you. Keep meditating it. God wants to bring this out in fullness. Seek peace and pursue it, the Bible says. So it's so good to be led. You know, it brings you to the peace. I said, you know, last week about the, you know, do I buy a Ford, do I buy a Chevy, do I buy the Highlander? Well, there just was no peace. And, you know, if we'd have bought that car, it'd be a year old, be great. Just a, like I said, nice car, just no witness. We'd probably be fussing over that car all the time, think, why did we buy this car? Probably traded it by now, you know, and took a bath on that. So what are you doing? You should be led. You should be led. Follow peace. Pursue it. We got the Holy Ghost inside of us. God, the Holy Ghost inside of us, who is the Alpha and the Omega, knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He never makes a mistake. Not saying, I'm not putting pressure on you. Oh, I better not try it. I might make a mistake and Mike and Ed will see it. No, I'm not saying that. But we got the wisdom of the ages, the Holy Ghost inside of us. So we don't want to be led by the flesh. We want to check inside of us. You know, how many people in the church at large don't even know to check in with God? So to check in with God, you know, to ask him about something. Oh, I wouldn't want to ask God about my car that I'm buying. He's got other things. Not, you know, he's concerned about every detail of your life. Check in with him. We need to be led. He doesn't make mistakes. And if we can, you know, in baseball, if you bat 400, you're pretty good. Well, I want to do better than that in the realm of the spirit. And we can do that. We need to have the witness. Like I said, some people choose based on cost. Some people look at the menu on the right side, well, this is a dollar cheaper, I'm going to buy that. And I understand if you have X amount of money, your family have X amount of dollars to go out to eat, you kind of look at what you can do and you do it. I understand that. But, you know, there's also an aspect of this, and don't take this the wrong way, but there's an upgrade. You know, you like upgrades? Maybe get into first class or you get the upgrade in the rental car. God wants to upgrade you. Instead of a McDonald's mentality, thank God for McDonald's. When I was on the road, it, you know, when you got to go to the bathroom, there's always a McDonald's somewhere. And I always say I threw my bathroom business to McDonald's. I'd buy stuff too. You know. But we got to upgrade. Let God bring you up a notch. I'm not talking down to anybody. If you're on this budget and you're getting there, you're in faith, I'm not telling you to go out and blow the credit card. I'm not saying that. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, like the example I used earlier, they're the ones, the cheapskates, they're gonna eat the rot gut junk. And they don't have to. They're just cheap and their God's their money. Money's their God. My grandmother came to America. She said they ate horse meat to get here. They had to do that. And they came and they learned the language. They became citizens. So I don't get off on the flesh here, but I don't have time for the, you know, let me get into this country illegally and then take care of my health needs and feed me and get a job and get out, you know? That's my opinion. So, you know, somebody said to me, well, your grandparents were immigrants. Yeah, legal immigrants. They learned the language, they became citizens, and that's just a If I'm in the flesh, forgive me. All right. But really, I mean, really, do you? It's like a ball and chain when, I'm not talking about people that need help legitimately, but the lazy, the slothful, that are inspired by the devil, basically. They know the system and they're going to beat the system. You know, and I don't want to look at it this way. I don't even like talking about it, but you could hook a ball and chain on you and you're dragging them along with your income. I heard Bill Winston say this. You know who Bill Winston is, a minister of the gospel? He said, you know, if you don't think we need tax reform, you don't make enough.
That's right.
I mean to tell you, we need tax reform. We need safety nets. I'm not getting into politics, but you think God doesn't want to liberate this nation from the debt? Certainly he does. And to do that, he's got to have people with lots of wealth and a system that works and that it gives incentive to people. You know, how many of these quote-unquote lazy people that know the system, if they really saw that there's an incentive that they could actually make some of themselves without, maybe they get off the sofa, maybe. If there's a, you know, God always has something that gets people's attention. Your brother, the drug addict, realizing, you know, God got his attention, I'm going to go to Teen Challenge. I'm going to get straight. You know, it wasn't easy getting off, but, you know, God will get people's attentions. So, 1 Corinthians 14:33. We're a couple more scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14:33. I'm sorry. Second, I did this when I was preaching myself, too. It's 2 Corinthians. Now, wait a minute. Where am I? I got the wrong reference here. No, it's 1 Corinthians 14:33. I got it. Whew. Here we go. For God is not, I'm in the King James, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. He can take a drug addict and get them in a direction, and they start sensing, I can get some peace. I got a pastor talked about without alcoholic, and then going from that to having peace without it. So God is not the author of confusion. He can't give you confusion because he doesn't have any. He can't. It's an impossibility. And it's by the same reverse thinking, the devil can't give you peace because he doesn't have any. Those spirits are vexed. Those foul spirits on this earth, they lost their place. They made a big mistake. And they're never going to get it back. You know, and they keep trying to pound the church. And they haven't been able to crush the church yet. Even though, you know, Adam fell, gave authority to the devil. Jesus got it back. Many people in the church world have given the devil authority in their lives because they don't know they have authority. But even with all that, the devil hasn't been able to crush the church. And if he could read, he realized he never can. He never will. So they're not happy. And that's why we have this intense turmoil in these days, this agitating pressure. That's the spirit of the devil trying to just agitate. Confusion. You know, you look at these riots, you know, this side, that side, and trying to separate what's going on. Well, we know what's going on. There's good and there's evil in the earth. And the devil will take any opportunity to cause tumult and an explosion of rioting and that sort of thing. He is the author of confusion, not God. God is the author of peace. You know, you don't go to God in prayer one day and say, Lord, I need this answer here. I need $10,000, Lord. $10,000. It's like, and God says, Gabriel, Michael, get over here. What are we going to do? Let's form a focus group. Maybe if we get the right answer, more people in the church would think we got something. And God's already got the answer. When you come to him, even if you need $1 million, he's not trying to find an answer for you. He's not looking at, well, let's see what I got here in the treasure box. He's already got the answer. He's already got the answer to what you should do, who you should marry. All this is in place. It's already there. He's already blessed us. He's already done these things. When you go to him, you're asking, and he will give you the answer. He's not all of a sudden breaking out into a sweat. And, you know, it's like Jerry Savelle said, he had this picture. Jerry's kind of a smaller person, but he had this picture being, you know, he needed money. He needed it for the ministry. And He said, "Lord, he's in line here." And then he looks up ahead and he's like this, trying to see. And he said, "Oh no, Oral Roberts is up there. By the time he gets done, God won't have anything left for me." You know, that kind of mentality. He was joking, but sometimes people think that way. God's got plenty. And he wants to get it to you. So these evil spirits, the heat is turned up. The other weekend, I had a pressure on, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a timing issue. Something had to go out. Something had to be done. Something, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And, sometimes you moan to your wife, and then she slaps you, and you're all right. Hopefully. And I got this revelation. Finally, we said, "Let's pray. Let's stop this turmoil." It was like you couldn't get. It was like led by the flesh. What do we do here? What do we do? How do we do this? I'm giving examples of real life. And if you think, you know, I'm in fear because of this, I think we all face this. So we prayed and we released our faith, and I got this revelation. Okay, devil. Yeah, timing. Yeah, I got to have this done. There's time pressure, but let's talk about your time pressure. And I like to say, tick tock. There's a lake of fire coming, and you can't stop it. Me, I can take the time. I can push. I can get this done in the time frame, and then I'll do that other time. But you, let's talk about time pressure for you. And you know, he didn't like that. All of a sudden, the pressure left. You know, you gotta, and see, that was led by the Spirit to get that revelation to turn it on him. To get out from under that. That was a quickening in my heart. And God will do that for us. He'll do it every time if we just get before him. Let's go over to, I'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. And while you're going there, I'm going to tell you another example. Can you take one more example? I know you can, John. You're just egging me on here, aren't you? So, these people, ministers of the gospel, and this is a true story, and I don't know them personally, but I've heard this related, were planning, they decided, and they had young girls, daughters, and the people in the ministry, the young daughters, they decide they're going to take a vacation over the Christmas holiday. So they booked this trip, they have it all booked, they're going to Thailand. They're going. They got their plane reservations. They got their hotel. This is set, and everybody's excited. The girls are excited. The wife's excited. Guess who's not excited? The husband. He just can't get peace on this. He said, "Oh man, I know everybody's so going to be so disappointed. This is a Christmas holiday. This is like they're so looking forward to this. We haven't been away, and I don't want to disappoint the girls or my wife." But finally. He goes to her, and she's spiritual. They're in the ministry, and that doesn't mean they're spiritual, but she's spiritual. So she says, "Well, if you got that, I don't like this." But so they told the girls, they canceled the trip. He had no peace up until that point. The moment they canceled that trip, he got peace. He got peace. He didn't know what's going on here, didn't know. But that was, they would have been in Thailand on December 26, 2004, when over 225,000 people were killed by that tsunami. You know, that made Dad look pretty good. But the more important thing is their daughters are alive. They're alive to preach another day. I mean, that really went off in me. This is how good God is. This is for real. I mean, he had turmoil, no peace, and he had the guts to cancel it. And then they were certainly glad afterwards. And then, like I said, people would say, if they had been there washed away, people would have said, "Why God let that happen?" They wouldn't have known that he disobeyed the inkling of the Spirit. This is reality in these days. And, we think, man, could I really do this too? Could I? Yeah, you can. I mean, you can. You've experienced this. In knowing things. The kids used to, don't even say to the kids when they were younger, "Yeah, I knew not to go that way," and they're stuck in the traffic. And they say, "Well, why didn't you listen? You know, Spirit of God, why didn't you listen to the Holy Ghost?" One day last year, I was took a day off helping her at the business, the coffee business, and something you didn't have. I had to rush home 24 miles one way from Leesport to Bethel. I'm coming up 78, and it's like the Spirit. I normally get off at the midway exit at that time. Spirit of God said, this is way before that. He said, just don't get off there. Get off at the Grimes exit, you know, which is a little exit. And I thought, well, it won't hurt to do this. I heard in here. And I'm thinking, so if I missed it, so what? Well, I get off the Grimes exit, and I get to the stop sign to get on the road I was going to get on, and looking to the right, it's all closed. And, I, you know, that's just something little, not really little, because it saved me a lot of time. But, you know, just that kind of thing. That's not life and death, but he'll train you on these kind of things. So the peace of God, Philippians says, it passes all understanding. It will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus when you cast a care on him. Now, Colossians, I'm going to close it up with this. And I need my Amplified again. We talked about this before in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. The King James says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let peace rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's a lot in that there about, we're not talking about thankfulness, but that is very important. Be thankful. I mean, how thankful to have God living in us. I mean, I'm glad I'm not living in the Old Testament times. It'd be great to see David kill Goliath, but I'm glad I'm not living there. I'll go back in time sometime and look at it. And I got to tell you this. You want me to tell them? I had told you this before. I was on a tractor mowing on a Saturday night, getting dark, getting late. And I was at a spot, and the Lord said, do you think I can show you the future? And I said, yes, sir, John 16, you know, you'll show me things to come. And he said, I am the past, I'm the present, I'm the future. And I had this in me, and I'm still getting revelation on this. But the other Friday, the Southwest Believers Convention, which, like I said, we had reserved seats and we were pushing to go, but just we followed peace. We couldn't do it this year. But that I was off that Friday. Well, I was actually working in my business in my office, but I came out to make some lunch, and I had it on there. We had it on Roku. So I'm just listening. Jesse Duplantis is on. He's talking about this. I'm listening to him, and then I go back to my computer, and all of a sudden, Jerry Savelle's on. Jerry's supposed to be in that slot. Well, then later on, Jesse comes on. And I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, is this a rebroadcast? I just heard him say this. So I go out to Darlene, I said, did you... I still can't figure it out naturally. I saw that service, bits of it, parts of it, before it happened. So then God, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure this out naturally. But later, a couple days later, he said to me, I told you I would show you things to come. God showed Brother Hagin in 1988 the service from the top of the convention center. He took him in the future a few days, showed him and the service, and he acted it out. And I thought maybe God was showing me these two services last week and this week, and that wasn't it. But I know there's some things coming when he's... I just can't figure it out naturally. I saw, because when he said one of the examples he used, I said, wait a minute, you just said that. But it wasn't on them. It was... So he'll show you the future. And, you know, time is an interesting thing. But in Colossians, I'll let it at that. But I'm just talking about the days we live in, the Spirit of God. You know, it's like translation. You know, I've heard testimony of Billy Brimmon, her daughter being translated to a property in Alabama with a fireplace going and people in turmoil, and she's just standing there praying for them. And then she's back home. And then she's at a convention sometime later, and these people who she realizes that, and her husband at the time said, don't tell anybody, they'll think you're crazy. They're at this convention, and there these people are. And they say, somehow we know you. And she didn't tell them. I mean, she was there, prayed for them, They sensed that. I mean, they couldn't figure out how they knew her. There's people that talk about, what was the lady's name, during the Vietnam War, actually being in the cells with prisoners praying. These things are real, folks. I'm not hocus-pocusing you here. And we're here because heaven and earth are coming together. We're hearing these things. But back to Colossians. I'm going to get in the Amplified here. So how do you make a decision when it's a big decision? You get the witness, the quickening, the witness. You get the liberty. Yeah, that's no bondage in that. That's got to be God. If you hear God, if you hear something tell you, I want you to give $10,000 to the church here. I'm not pulling that. This is just an example, honestly. And, is that God or not? Do you have 10,000? Is it really God? I heard a pastor say one time when he was a young guy and he was turning on to Jesus before he was a pastor in school, he thought he heard this voice telling him, stand up on the table, start preaching the gospel at lunchtime. Well, it wasn't God. It was something prompting, it was like a pressure on him, pressuring him. If God tells you, some people would say, well, if God says give $10,000, the devil's not going to tell you to do it. Well, it depends. Is that going to put you over into bankruptcy? Or, you got to use a little bit of brain, but follow the Spirit. There's a fine line there. But when you really got to make a decision, I like what the Amplified says, and let the peace from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. Umpire in your heart. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. So that goes along with Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. See, so many times we don't acknowledge, the church at large doesn't acknowledge God. He's wisdom itself. Acknowledge Him. Lord, you have the answer to this. I know you do. You have ability. You have power. You're willing to do this for me. I come before. I need this answer. I acknowledge it. You're God. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm yours. I want to do your will. I'm acknowledging you in this situation. And he said, the Amplifier says, He'll direct your paths. He'll make plain your paths. We got a system that's so good here if we'll learn to operate it. But let the peace of God act as umpire. Who gets to make the call? In baseball, does the runner coming around third base, heading to home plate, going to slide in there? Does he get to make the call? Does Roberto Clemente in right field for the Pirates back in my day, when I was a kid, firing the ball into Smokey Burgess, the catcher for the Pirates in that day, do they get to make the call? The catcher standing there blocking the plate? No, does the announcer get to make the call? Do the fans get to make the call? Maybe nowadays, but by the rule of law, the umpire gets to make the call. And so let the peace from Christ's rule act as umpire in your heart. Check your heart. Where's the peace? Do you have peace in your heart? Your brain could be tilt, tilt, tilt. I don't have all the details on what is coming in this thing I was talking about. I know a direction, and I can hook into it by faith, and I'll learn more, and I'll get the full understanding of it, but I got it in here. So I'm acting on peace in a direction, and it's time sensitive. I've got to know by a certain time, but I'm following peace. That is the biggest thing in this age, this time criticalness. And just don't let the devil get you by the nose on that. I know Brother Hagin wouldn't move until he had the answer. Keith Moore talks about it. He says, people need answers, and then I'm not moving out of my office. I'm not moving out of my prayer time until I know what I'm doing. And, when you're on the job, and the boss is saying, you need to function. You need to be able to function. Take the word and take the spirit. But the umpire gets to make the call. The umpire gets to make the decision. So when you get that check, like the guy in the Thailand vacation, when you get the check, don't push past it. Don't get to the point where the Spirit of God is trying to deal with you and you're getting hard-hearted. You're ignoring it for day after day, month after month. You get to the point where you just aren't going to hear. You got to get sensitive. to him. Like, I'm convinced with the World Trade Center, with the Pentagon, with the 9/11 deal, God spoke to all those people. I'm convinced, you know, how many listened. We hear testimony of people that were listening, that heard and ran and got out. So I just want to read this statement to you in closing. You can gather all the information. Nowadays, you can get so many hits on the internet. You know, you need something, you can plug in there and you can spend day and night and day and night. And I don't like that either. I want to get it. I'll get all the information I can, but that's a finite thing. I don't make my decision just on that. I have the God inside of me. You have the God inside of you that can lead you to make the decision. Be led by the Spirit in the decision. Be led by your heart. So we're talking about identifiers. I'm just going to read this to you. How do you recognize what's the Holy Spirit? What is just flesh? The enemy cannot minister life to you. He cannot minister peace to you. He cannot set you free. He doesn't have it. He cannot get it. He wouldn't give it to you if he could, the devil. And that's just how he is. He wouldn't give it to you. So we need to know what to yield to, what to resist. The Holy Spirit is wall-to-wall life, quickening, peace, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So I believe this helps you. I mean, you got to, you know, this is full-time Christianity. We need to not meditate on the Word just every month or two. We need to not get into worship every month or two. We need to get into God. You know, as much as I'm in the Word, as much, I'm sure I can, tell me if I'm wrong, as much as you're in the Word, you crave more. I mean, it's like, I want to be addicted to the Word. Because when you do that, it's life, and it makes such a difference. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. We ask you to take this word, seal it in people's hearts. Lord God, we thank you. You've given us things to chew on, to meditate on, to ponder. And we know you'll quicken us. You'll give us the witness. You'll give us liberty, and you'll give us peace. We thank you. That is available, and we take it. We hook into that by faith. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Last night, and really Mike hit along some things. The Holy Spirit was talking to me last night about some things for this morning. And let's stand our feet. You can stretch yourself here a little bit. But I just one of the things that the Holy Spirit was talking to me about last night, and Mike really hit on here today, about peace. A lot on the areas of peace, about peace on the inside. And, you know, there's one thing is about dealing with things of the future. You know, there's things, God doesn't leave us in the place of, you know, so many people come along and think about, well, things just happen or just come up. And I found out this in my life by, sometimes I hit it right and sometimes I missed it. But I found this, especially major things coming up in my life, God's usually preparing me for things. And I'm not talking about just good things. Sometimes there's things come along in life that are coming up the road to you, and we want to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. We want to listen. But in the areas of learning to follow peace, you know, there's just things that was going on me last night, and then what Mike's talking about here, which I don't know if people are in the position right now, but I have a sense is toward the future, is practicing the areas of getting away from the areas of being pressured into decisions. There's one thing is we live in a society today and people are always pressuring people to decisions. I want to let you know this and tell you. I've learned this over the years by experience. If you're pressured into decisions, you're usually going to make the wrong decision. It's going to be the wrong one. I'm just telling you. I know. And I know by the Holy Spirit. I know by experience. I've done it. Made the wrong decisions. People are always trying to force you into you got to do this now. You have to have this. It's one thing is I've learned, if somebody, you know, says to me, you know, boy, I have this great deal for you and this, but you got to do it right now. I always immediately say to them, well, then we're going to pass that deal up. We ain't going that direction. If it's something if you can't stop, now it's number one because Mike's talking about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got to follow peace. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. I remember, you know, reading and listening to his messages and stuff on tape years ago and things and listening, but I remember going to Bible school and he always talked about this. He says, if you want to, you got to learn to be led by peace. Check on the inside. He said, on the outside, and I found this to be true, on the outside, you can have all the right, what seems like the information. You think you know what's going on. But always check on the inside. Sometimes your outside information, that's what you need to follow at the time. Sometimes that's right. Sometimes what you see going on, things, that's the right thing. But if you don't have peace about it on the inside, moving, that's where you got to stop. And lots of times that's why you can't move fast, because sometimes you just can't instantly connect with that on the inside. You don't instantly all of a sudden know on the inside. And I just got a sense there's things coming up here in the future that start to practice now of following peace. Because what can look good can turn around and be the wrong thing to do. And it can really cost people. Just as an example, I had years ago, and it started into a lot of which is going on today in the church world. The church world is trying to use the things of the world to trying to reach the world. And this happened back years. This happened back in the 1980s. This is before I went to Bible school. In fact, it was probably about 1983 or 1984. A minister friend gave me a call, and he talked about in his church, he had a group of young guys who, had a band, they were playing Christian music. But they got over to this thing, and they got over because I remember it started into this as people were, we want to reach the world, so we'll play some of their music, and we'll play some of, they started moving, and we'll play Christian music, and we'll get over into there. And he said, the stuff that they want to play, he said, it's not bad, it's not real weird, weird stuff. But he said, something don't seem right. He said to this man, he said, would you pray about that with me on this thing? And I said, sure. I said, I will. And, I didn't no more expect to happen what happened. But I prayed about it some. But one night, in my Christian walks, I've had some dreams already. And, I'm not talking about pizza dreams or, you go to bed and you have... I'm not talking about their dreams, and in fact, when they took place, I've had some dreams already, and it almost, I know this, it's a weird thing. In the dream, I know that this is a real thing going on. I know it at the time the dream's happening. And in this dream, I was back in Vietnam. I had been in Vietnam, and I was back in Vietnam, and it was so real. I mean, in that dream, it was just, it was like I was really in Vietnam. And I knew it, I was thinking about at the time that the dream was going on, I'm thinking, this is no dream. This is something else going on. Because, the sense, the smells of things was just like being back in the country. And I was running an ammo convoy, and I was driving a truck. And we were driving down a road, and we were in a jungle area and that stuff. One of the things they taught you to do is when you're driving a vehicle, you don't stop for nobody or nothing. Because lots of times that's how you end up dead. What they'll do things to try to get you to stop, try to blow a truck up and stuff all starts. They blow a truck up in the beginning of the thing, and then they got everybody backed up and you're in big trouble. And we're driving and all of a sudden we're slowing down this dream. And I'm back in truck, all of a sudden, in this dream, I'm nervous and sweating, man. I'm like, this ain't right. And I start yelling down the line, what's going on? Get these trucks moving. Get moving. And they just keep slowing down more and more. They come to a stop. And I'll never forget this. I stood up in a deuce and a half. They have room in the front of me. And I remember standing up and looking up the road. And I look up the road and I see this big angel, look like an angel, standing along the road. Big, glowing, beautiful looking thing, standing way up the road. And I'm there looking down through. And I remember just standing there looking at this dream, and I said, that cannot be God. He would never put us in danger like this. That ain't God. And so in the dream, I drove the truck. I pulled around the truck that's in front of me, and it was just like, there was growth down on the side, and I'm running this truck down through, just running small trees down and stuff and driving past, getting out into the open where this angel's standing. When I drove past, I looked into the face of the being, and it sure wasn't no angel. And when I woke up, I knew what the dream was about. It was about what looks good. Things that look good and things that they're doing things, but it ain't going to turn out to no good. And I knew it was about. I knew it was about these young men getting involved in this stuff. I knew what it was about. And I called this minister and I told him about it. And I said, they're heading in the wrong direction. They need to stay out of this. So, he talked about him, and they didn't, and I don't even think those young men even follow God today. They got off out into the world. The devil pulled them out into something. It's because they you know, just this looks like a good thing. It looks like the thing. Instead of following on the inside, God's in us. On the outside, things can look wonderful and things can look good. And we're right now in a time where the church world is doing loads of them. We have a church in this community that used to preach the gospel that now plays 1970s junk in their church, coming in for people. We're reaching people, playing 1970s drug music. Because, yeah, these people, you know, they like this stuff. A church I went to in Bible school, they got smoke machines and everything else in their church. Young people like it. Ain't going there. Ain't going this stuff. I don't need strobe lights in church. We did that while we smoked our dope and drank, and so it just, you know, pushed our little experience further and further. That's what it was. The churches are doing that today. Churches that used to preach the gospel, now they're using the things of the world. It's why? It's because they're not following what's on the inside. They're not walking on what's in the inside. They're following what's on the outside. They're trying to reach men. It's like the Lord told me years ago when I was in youth ministry. He said to me, whatever you use to get the youth is what you're going to have to use to keep them. You use junk to get them, you're going to have to keep the junk. And I've watched it. Anybody that goes to the junk. That's why it's listen on the inside. You know, you're not going to practice this stuff quickly. You're not going to, you know, it isn't designed that way. God is not somebody we throw a switch and you just get the answer right that second. There's times that you get an answer quick. Maybe you need one. But lots of times, I've had to wait uncomfortably. But I'll tell you what, it might have been hard on my flesh, but having the right decision made a whole lot brighter future. People are making wrong decisions, and it's costing them. Just like those young men, it costs them. Whatever they're at and what they're into today, whatever's going on, what did it cost? Just because not take time. Well, this looks like the good thing. Other people are doing it. Other people, let's listen on the inside. Till you know on the inside that this is the step that you're supposed to take. You know, just I learned through things like Mike was talking about, just the things with the car. You know, understand this about this. Why this is so important. You cannot make us, if you're not at peace on the inside, it's 100% impossible for you to do it by faith. And the Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. It is a sin to go, people don't look at it this way, but it's a sin to go do it when the inside of you is telling you no and you go against that. Because it all looks good. We use sin, well, I, you know, don't smoke, swear, drink, and you know, I don't do this, I don't sin. Lots of times, I've sinned by bypassing what was inside of me, which is saying no, and I went bypass it. Mike talked about buying a car. You know, I've learned this over the years. I don't make a thing about a car. I've been over the past year, and I want to buy a new vehicle, but you know what? I ain't sold on the inside what I want yet. And I ain't making a move till I get it on the inside of me, because then I can act toward that in faith. Why? Well, I've learned to do that. It's like Mike said, yeah, you buy the thing and after a while you wish you wouldn't. I've gotten enough things in my life that I wish I wouldn't have. Have you been there? Yes, sir. Now, I'm telling you, this is the Holy Spirit. He's talking about these things last night. There's people need to hear this right now, because there's either things you're in right now, maybe having decisions, maybe people are pressuring you. Don't let people pressure you. Don't let people. God doesn't push you around. Amen. If a person's trying to do it, it's because they're doing evil. They might not view it as evil, but it's being evil. Trying to push you past where you're comfortable on the inside. Don't you let people do that to you. I don't care, they're relatives and they're just, oh, we're trying, you got to do that. No, you don't. You need to let people, they either respect you or they don't like you. And if they're pushing you, they have no respect for you and they have no respect for God. Listen on the inside. Make right decisions. You know, I want you to do better than I did. Things I did along the way to learn, hallelujah. But learn to do that. Learn to make the right decisions. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We thank you today. Father God, Father, I pray your witness and things. These are your people. You love them. You care for them, Lord God. Father, you never pushed them around. You didn't make them accept Jesus. You gave them an offer. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you're working in them and you're not a bully. I want to thank you that you're a good God and you're taking them step by step, and the good work that you started in them, you're going to bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to work it out in their lives. Lord God, you're going to take them, the Bible, we're going from glory to glory. Lord, not from problem to then try to get some glory. You're going to take us from glory to glory. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Father, we're on a trip here, hallelujah. And this trip we're going to, it's going to be a step at a time. But Lord God, it is the step from glory to glory. It's a step from a place of wisdom to another place of wisdom, another place of understanding, another place of comprehension. Lord God, to fulfill your plans and purposes. And Father God, you're not trying to rip things out of our hands just so you can get what you want. You're not like that. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you for it, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that your wisdom is given liberally today in the name of Jesus. Liberally today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, there's anyone here today. Let me just say, is anybody here today, you're dealing with a health problem? You want prayer for? Anybody dealing with a health problem? Hallelujah. Well, I hope everybody's healthy. Hallelujah. But praise God, if you're dealing with that, God wants you well. God wants you well. God, get it thought in. Don't let any thoughts come to your mind. God wants you well in the name of Jesus. That's what he is on the ball for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for health in bodies today in the name of Jesus. These are your people. That's your plan and purpose, Lord God, for them. I pray right now, Lord God, for that quickening life, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in us is making bodies alive today. I thank you there's a quickening of health in our bodies, that the Holy Spirit's working in us like a medicine. Hallelujah. Bringing recovery to our bodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, if there's anything out of line, I want to thank you it's coming in line by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, the mind. Lord God, we know that the devil, that's where he wants to work at. Lord God, get our thoughts off. But I want to thank you, Father God, for the mind of Christ. Father, we were given the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ that lives in us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Father God, that we have clear thought, clear understanding today in the name of Jesus. Devil, I bind you for coming against the minds of the saints in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to cease and desist in your operations against the children of God. You have no right to them. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon the minds and the thoughts, Lord God, of these people in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, they will understand clearly. Their minds will work just as you made them to work. Hallelujah. That you created it to be. And Father God, we thank you. Father, I thank you. We're governed by the thoughts of God in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for it. And Father, as we go out of here today, Lord God, we're marching to victory. Hallelujah. Lord, we're taking a step higher. Lord, I realize this. Lord God, the Bible says that in Jesus himself said in the world there's tribulation, but I've overcome it. There's trouble out there. But Father God, we're not going to be afraid of the trouble. Father, I thank you that we're going to live that victorious life. We're going to live that triumphant life that the Bible says that we have. And we're going to overcome in all these situations in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I want to thank you, because if we miss it, you told us to come boldly to the throne of grace where we receive mercy and we find grace to help in time of need. Father, I thank you. Your ability will work in us, Lord God, bringing about miraculous change in our lives. Hallelujah. Where Jesus Christ is totally magnified, totally glorified. And we thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a glorious, glorious week.